From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Netherlands strengthen cooperation in counter-terrorism efforts. Inaugurating Minangkabau Airport train, President Joko Widodo wants to decrease the use of private vehicles. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has met with Dutch Foreign Minister Stef Blok and discussed efforts to strengthen bilateral cooperation, particularly in education and counter-terrorism efforts, as stated in a press release from the Indonesian Foreign Ministry received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday, May the 21st. Related to education and cooperation, the Indonesian government expects the Dutch government's plan to conduct a review of international scholarship will not affect the cooperation with Indonesia. Furthermore, the two foreign ministers also exchanged views regarding developments in the region, including the situation of refugees from Rakhine State in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh. Related to the eradication of terrorism, the Indonesian government invites the G20 member countries to contribute concretely in the fight against terrorism. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi confirmed that the threat of terrorism is still high and very real. It can be seen from several events in Indonesia last week. The minister explained that the Indonesian police and security authorities are moving quickly to identify and capture terrorist networks. Indonesia called on G20 member states to strengthen cooperation in countering terrorism during the G20 foreign ministers' meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina on Sunday. The message was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi during a working dinner of the G20 foreign ministers' meeting in Buenos Aires on Sunday, a press release from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated on Monday. According to Minister Retno, G20 must demonstrate leadership and contribute concretely to fighting terrorism to maintain global security and peace. Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed to the G20 foreign ministers that terrorism posed a real threat. The minister then spoke to us of a series of multiple bomb attacks that occurred in Indonesia's second largest city last week. The Indonesian authority and police had worked quickly to identify and arrest the alleged terrorists of the network. Indonesian people are not afraid. Indonesian all must not fear terrorism and should not give room for terrorism. Moreover, Minister Retno praised solidarity among G20 member states following the terrorist attacks in Indonesia. The minister proposed measures to counter the issue of terrorism as an integral part during the discussion in the G20 meeting. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated Minangkabau International Airport train in Padang, West Sumatra on Monday, May the 21st. In his speech, the president highlighted traffic jam, which often becomes a challenge in several big cities. The airport train in Padang is the third airport train which has been inaugurated by the president after a similar airport train inauguration in Jakarta and Medan, Sumatra. President Joko Widodo moreover said that the airport train in Padang was built by using government subsidy funds so that there can be change, so that the charge is cheaper for the people.
Kita ingin mengurangi sebanyak-banyaknya penggunaan mobil pribadi di jalanan.
We want to decrease the use of private cars. We also want people to ride mass transportation. Train in Jakarta MRT and LRT will immediately be operated. Without such effort, many cities in the world will have congestion. In West Sumatra, especially in Padang and Padang Pariaman, we want to do the same thing. From the airport to the town, people should not use private cars, since there are available mass transportation, namely airport train. Furthermore, in his speech, President Joko Widodo conveyed the plan of expansion of Minangkabau International Airport. According to the president, currently, the international airport capacity reaches 2.7 million passengers per year. The expansion is aimed to accommodate 5.7 million passengers every year. President Joko Widodo also said that the expansion of Minangkabau International Airport is scheduled to be complete by 2019. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated Professor Dr. Hamka Integrated Boarding School on Monday, May 21st in Padang City, West Sumatra. In his speech, the president remembering Hamka's figure, a great figure of Muslims not only in local and national level, but also in the international level. President Joko Widodo further said that Buya Hamka paid high attention to education, knowledge, and development of young generation. The president hoped that Professor Dr. Hamka Integrated Modern Boarding School can be a place to encourage the growth of Muslims toward the Indonesian development.
Harapan kita semuanya adalah agar pesantren modern terpadu.
Our hope that Professor Dr. Hamka Integrated Modern Boarding School becomes a place of a growth of santri or the students of Islamic boarding school who have precious character, tough and resilient, optimistic, and will bring Indonesia to be Baldatun Toibatun Marabun Ghafur, or prosperous country. Earlier, in his working visit to Padang, West Sumatra, President Joko Widodo also handed over a number of certificates of charitable land to a number of representatives symbolically. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Foreign Election Committee, PPLN, in Cairo, Egypt, continues to conduct preparation of temporary voters list for legislative election and presidential general election 2019, which was started on May 17 until June 16, 2018. Head of the Committee of Cairo, Amin Abdul Samad, said in Cairo recently that the data which has been obtained from the Central Election Commission, there are 7,593 Indonesian citizens who have voting rights in Egypt. The Cairo Committee managed to validate about 5,653 voter candidates who are considered to have requirement. Meanwhile, the remaining 2,175 citizens have a possibility to return to Indonesia, died or double voters. Percentage of the most candidate are students reaching 90%. Permanent voter list will be decided on August 23, 2018. Amin Abdul Samad also explained that August and September 2018 are registration time for new students, so that the committee predicted that there will be more than 1,500 from new students who want to continue their study in Egypt. The new voter candidates will be registered in the permanent voters list to the General Election Commission. In Setidabing, the Committee of Voters Data Update until May 16, 2018 has conducted validation for the voters candidate reached to 5,653 voters. They are considered to fulfill requirements as the voters candidates. Later, we will register them as temporary voters for Egypt. Amin Abdul Samad added that although the Indonesian citizens are not registered yet, in permanent voters list, they have to show electronic identity card or passport, then they could use their voting rights. For Egypt, the vote will be conducted on April 13, 2019, or 4 days faster than in Indonesia. Head of National Aeronautics and Space Agency LAPAN, Professor Thomas Jamaluddin MSc, said that LAPAN will build a National Observatory Center in Mount Timau, East Nusa Tenggara. To RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia Monday, May the 21st, he explained that the development is a cooperation between LAPAN, Bogor Agricultural Institute, and Cendana University. In addition to the center of the observatory, the science center will also be built in Kupang, Mount Timau, East Nusa Tenggara, was chosen as the location of National Observatory Center because it has the longest sunny night, no light pollution, and good access. Currently, the construction is in the telescope-making step, which started since the beginning of this year.
Kami sudah mengadakan kontrak dengan...
We have signed a contract with a Japanese company to create a 3.8-meter telescope that will be the largest telescope in Southeast Asia. While the process is done in Japan, it is targeted to complete until the end of 2019. Shipped to Indonesia to be installed at the telescope building, we are targeting it can be operated at the beginning of 2020. Thomas Jamaluddin furthermore said that the telescope at the observatory will have the latest and efficient technology. It will be used for astrophysical research related to star observations, nebulae, and galaxy structures. It is hoped that the telescope can contribute a better understanding of the universe to the people. In addition, the telescope is also located in the equator so that it can observe the northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere. Therefore, it can be utilized for international cooperation, especially with the northern countries like Japan, Europe, and America. With its long history of astronomical research since 1923, Indonesia is considered the most experienced country in astronomical research, so it can invite countries in Southeast Asia to cooperate. Currently, Thailand and the Philippines are also building large telescopes so that research cooperation with the countries can be implemented. Indonesian Institute of Sciences or LIPI encourages all Indonesian farmers to use biological organic fertilizer in developing agriculture. The plant, which uses biological organic fertilizer or POH, is more durable toward pests. The plant can also increase the biochemical quality of agricultural land. Technology of LIPI's biological organic fertilizer has been applied by more than 6,000 farmers in 70 regencies and cities in Indonesia. Moreover, the fertilizer can increase agricultural production significantly. It was stated by a researcher of Biological Research Center of LIPI, Sarjia Antonius, after media briefing about LIPI biological organic fertilizer for nutritious and sustainable food supply at Media Center of LIPI in Jakarta on Monday, May 21st.
Saya ingin pola pikir petani itu berubah. Jadi jangan...
I want farmers can change their mindset. They do not depend on chemical fertilizer by ignoring the fertility of land. Every time I disseminate information and introduce bio-organic fertilizer, the farmers have to decline the use of chemical fertilizer. Secondly, keeping organic fertilizer. Thirdly, if using chemical fertilizer, we must follow standard operational procedure or SOP because herbicide and pesticide affected to the nerve. We are not aware now that in the next few years it will be very harmful for health. Sarjia Antonius also explained that the production technology and application of biological organic fertilizer have been produced continuously and independently in many farmer groups and practitioners in many regions in Indonesia. Antonius further said that the use of biological organic fertilizer can give positive impact socially and people's economy because the use of the fertilizer can press production costs, make the food more nutritious, and it doesn't contaminate the environment. And listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Netherlands strengthen cooperation in counter-terrorism efforts. Inaugurating Minangkabau Airport train, President wants to decrease the use of private vehicle. And listeners, that was the news. Country. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Reviving Suskap to Fight Against Terrorism. A series of recent terrorist attacks in several cities in Indonesia highlight the discourse of reviving the Joint Special Operation Command of Indonesian Anpusis TNI Kop Suskap. The goal is to help police counter terrorist attacks. Kop Suskap was actually inaugurated on June 9, 2015, when the Chief of Staff Office of President Muldoko was commander of the TNI. The command comprises of special forces of troops consisting of three TNI dimensions, namely Sat 81 Guntur Army Special Force Command, the Naval Detachment of the Navy, and the Sat Bravo 90 Air Force Tactical Forces Corps. The main concept is to form troops that can be deployed immediately when there is a serious situation concerning terrorism. The tasks of the Kop Suskap handled at the time were limited to extraordinary operations. However, sometime later, the operation command was frozen. This year, terrorists launched their acts and killed many lives, including police personnel. Various parties have started proposing reinforcement of Kop Suskap fight against terrorists across Indonesia. However, this discourse raises controversy. On one hand, there are those who support the plan as long as the rules are strict. On the other hand, some do not agree and ask the government to complete the fast process of revision of the law against terrorism. Meanwhile, Chief of Staff Office of President Muldoko told reporters on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo has approved the reactivation of Kop Suskap belonging to the TNI. The revision of Law No. 15/2003 on eradication of criminal acts of terrorism has not been legalized by the Parliament today. In fact, law imposers need a certain legal umbrella to take preventive action. Whatever the decision will be, the involvement of all security forces to fight against terrorism must have a strong legal basis and respect for human rights. Military assistance is required only if the situation is not able to be addressed by the police. In addition, it should be clearly determined when the Joint Special Operation Command, Kop Suskap, starts and ends. The Indonesian experience shows that prolonged repressive measures are ineffective and many, and I should say, may pose new problems later on. The government should also be able to convince the general public that the Joint Special Operation Command, Kop Suskap of the TNI, along with the police, will ensure the security of the citizens, lest the people even feel that there is new terror. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with May the 22nd, 1906. The Wright brothers are granted a U.S. patent for their flying machine. The Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, were two American aviators, engineers, inventors, and aviation pioneers who are generally credited with inventing, building, and flying the world's first successful airplane. They made the first controlled sustained flight of a powered heavier-than-air aircraft on December 17, 1903, 4 miles south of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. In 1904-05,
The brothers developed their flying machine into the first practical fixed-wing aircraft. Although not the first to build experimental aircraft, the Wright brothers were the first to invent aircraft controls that made fixed-wing powered flight possible. Turning to May 22, 1960, the Great Chilean Earthquake, measuring 9.5 on the Mohmann magnitude scale, hit southern Chile, became the most powerful earthquake ever recorded. The 1960 Valdivia earthquake or Great Chilean Earthquake of May the 22nd is the most powerful earthquake ever recorded. Various studies have placed it at 9.4 to 9.6 on the Mohmann magnitude scale. It occurred in the afternoon and lasted approximately 10 minutes. The resulting tsunami affected southern Chile, Hawaii, Japan, the Philippines, eastern New Zealand, southeast Australia, and the Aleutian Islands. The epicenter of this megathrust earthquake was near Luamaco, approximately 570 kilometers south of Santiago, with Valdivia being the most affected city. The tremor caused localized tsunamis that severely battered the Chilean coast with waves up to 25 meters. The main tsunami raced across the Pacific Ocean and devastated Hilo, Hawaii. Waves are high as 10.7 meters were recorded 10,000 kilometers from the epicenter and as far away as Japan and the Philippines. The death toll and monetary losses arising from this widespread disaster are not certain. Various estimates of the total number of fatalities from the earthquake and tsunamis have been published, ranging between 1,000 and 7,000 killed. I'll end today in history with May 22, 1992, the adoption of the World Biodiversity Day. The International Day for Biological Diversity or World Biodiversity Day is a United Nations sanctioned international day for the promotion of biodiversity issues. It is currently held on May the 22nd. It falls within the scope of the UN Post-2015 Development Agenda Sustainable Development Goals. In this larger initiative of international cooperation, the topic of biodiversity concerns stakeholders in sustainable agriculture, desertification, land degradation and drought, water and sanitation, health and sustainable development, energy, science, technology and innovation, knowledge sharing and capacity building, urban resilience and adaptation, sustainable transport, climate change and disaster risk disaster risk reduction, oceans and seas, forests, vulnerable groups including indigenous peoples, and food security. The critical role of biodiversity in sustainable development was recognized Rio 20 outcome document, The World We Want, A Future for All. Well, that was today in history. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with our daily program, My Indonesia. Today's title is Pancasila as the Cultural Roots of Indonesian Nation. Deputy Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, PR Hidayat Nur Wahid, says that it's important to reaffirm that Pancasila is the culture of Indonesian nation, so Pancasila can penetrate into the soul of all Indonesian people. This was stated by Hidayat Nur Wahid at the National Culture Workshop with the theme Pancasila Culture as Indonesian Civilization, held by IMPR Assessment Institute or LEMKAJI at the Parliament Building in Jakarta on last Tuesday. As quoted from IMPR.co.id, Hidayat Nur Wahid said that it's necessary to re-enliven Pancasila culture today. Remembering that there has been rampant reoccurrence of terror and terrorism issues more recently. Hidayat Nur Wahid believes that if the Indonesian people implement Pancasila well, the problem of terror and terrorism can be overcome. He also explained the first principle of Pancasila, the one supreme God, and there is not any religion teaching terror and terrorism. Meanwhile, Chairman of MPR Assessment Institute, Ruli Haidur Aswar, said that Pancasila does not color the economic, political, legal system because there is a gap between the moral and reality. He also affirmed that Indonesian nation should not be doubtful to make Pancasila as the base of value to build the nation. Ruli added that Indonesia has Pancasila whose values are pure and it was created by the founders of the nation. From Pancasila, Indonesian nation has the initial capital of civilization development because Pancasila is the ideology, the basic philosophy of state and national identity of Indonesia. Ruli Hairul Aswar regretted that there are still elites and some people who have not made Pancasila's culture into behavior to form civilized personality. He also pointed out that making Pancasila as a value base to build a nation toward a developed nation is very important because cultural links with the development of civilization need not be doubted. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has met with Dutch Foreign Minister Stef Blok and discussed efforts to strengthen bilateral cooperation, particularly in education and counter-terrorism efforts, as stated in a press release from the Indonesian Foreign Ministry received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday, May the 21st. Indonesia called on G20 member countries to strengthen cooperation in countering terrorism during the G20 foreign ministers' meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina on Sunday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated Minangkabau International Airport train in Padang West Sumatra on Monday, May the 21st. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated Professor Dr. Hamka Integrated Building Boarding School on Monday, May the 21st in Padang City, West Sumatra. Foreign Election Committee, PPLN, in Cairo, Egypt, continues to conduct preparation of temporary voters list for legislative election and presidential general election 2019, which was started on May 17 until June 16, 2018. Head of National Aeronautics and Space Agency, or LAPAN, Professor Thomas Jamaluddin MSc, said that LAPAN will build a national observatory center in Mount Timau, Eastern Tenggara province. And the last item, Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, encourages all Indonesian farmers to use biological organic fertilizer in developing agriculture. And listeners, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of the typical culinaries of North Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, during Ramadan, every region has a typical meal that becomes the leading menu for breaking the fast. In Medan, North Sumatra, precisely in Mandailing region, rattan shoot or pakat is a favorite menu for breaking the fast. Pakat is often served as fresh vegetables or menu complement. Pakat is a rattan shoot that has a very soft texture so that it is easy to consume. Listener, the taste of pakat is somewhat bitter, like other fresh vegetables in general. How to make pakat into side dishes is quite easy. The rattan shoot is cut for 1 meter, then roasted for half an hour by using charcoal or coconut shell stove. When it is cooked, and remove the white sap, peel the outer layer, then take part of rattan fill. Cut the filling of rattan shoots for 10 cm. It can be consumed directly with soy sauce as fresh vegetables. Pakat can also be cooked vegetable curry with salai fish. In addition to the typical taste, the price is also quite cheap. With 10,000 rupiah, you can bring home 5 sticks of pakat that have been roasted and peeled. Listener, pakat peddlers usually sell roasted pakat and provide anyang made of coconut milk and fried coconut flesh. Order for pakat during the holy month of Ramadan tends to increase rapidly. In addition to the Mandailing tribe, pakat also favored by people in North Sumatra, including those the Javanese and Minang people who live in the region. They believe that pakat can increase appetite. That's why pakat is usually consumed as menu of breaking the fast or before meal. The bitter taste of pakat makes other foods feel much better. Pakat is beneficial to maintain health. Pakat also believed to treat diabetes, malaria, and high blood pressure. In South Tapanuli, pakat not only used as a breaking menu, but also traditional food during special ceremonies for the people of South Tapanuli and Mandailing Natal. Are you interested to taste pakat? You can taste it when you visit North Sumatra during Ramadan. It's easy to find pakat on the outskirts of Medan and restaurants. For example, in Jalan Karya Medan, Jalan Sukaramai, Aksara Intersection, Jalan Denai, and in several other locations. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pakat, Mandailing Special Culinary of North Sumatra. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and phrases and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, with the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, sudah sampai mana? Or in English, where are you now? Stay tuned. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on sudah sampai mana, or in English, where are you now? The conversation is between Heru and a taxi driver. Tony has been waiting for an online taxi for 10 minutes, but it doesn't come yet. He calls the driver, who is a woman. Tony, sudah sampai mana?
Saya sudah di Malioboro, macet, Pak.
Berapa lama saya harus menunggu?
Sebentar lagi, Pak, mungkin 5 menit.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to the theme of the day, which is sudah sampai mana, or in English, where are you now? I will say every sentence twice and you can repeat after me. Sudah sampai mana? Sudah sampai mana? In English, where are you now? Macet. Macet. In English, traffic jam. Berapa lama saya harus menunggu? Berapa lama saya harus menunggu? In English, how long must I wait?
Sebentar lagi, Pak. Mungkin 5 menit.
Sebentar lagi, Pak. Mungkin 5 menit. In English, in a moment, sir. Perhaps 5 minutes. To ask the position of someone who is on the journey, say, sudah sampai mana?
Sudah sampai mana?
Or in English, where are you now? To answer that question, when you arrive at your destination, say, saya sudah sampai.
Saya sudah sampai.
In English, I have arrived. If you are close, say, saya hampir sampai.
Saya hampir sampai.
In English, I'm almost, In English, I'm almost there. Or, sebentar lagi sampai.
Sebentar lagi sampai.
In English, arriving soon. Or you can also name the place. Other examples.
Sudah sampai mana?
Sudah sampai mana? In English, where are you now?
Sudah sampai Jalan Tamrin.
Sudah sampai Jalan Tamrin. I'm on Tamrin Street. Then, if you want to ask about the time needed to arrive, you say, berapa lama dari sana ke sini?
Berapa lama dari sana ke sini?
In English, how long does it take to arrive here? Before ending Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today, to make it more clear, let's listen to the conversation once again.
Sudah sampai mana?
Saya sudah di Malioboro. Macet, Pak.
Berapa lama saya harus menunggu?
Sebentar lagi, Pak. Mungkin 5 menit. That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia to email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be an attractive prize for selected senders. The exercise is, describe a tourist object or destination in your country, mention the country, name of the tourist spot, the location and weather there. All in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. Example,
selamat pagi, negara saya Indonesia, memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di Yogyakarta. Cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present the regional songs of Pulau Region, Central Sulawesi. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Palu Ngataku by Amri Palu. Enjoy the song.
Palu ngataku onturon tubuhku sampai nomaku pun onturon tuamaku ante tinaku ante sararaku bakoring gauduna natorele mosangana nadea hasena ngataku nasugi ngataku na Tora, hey.
anakku Tora, Tora.
You've just listened to the original song from Palu, Central Sulawesi, entitled Palu Ngataku by Amri Palu. Palu Ngataku means Palu, my great place. The song, composed by Hasan Bahasuan, tells the story about Palu region as a place of birth with all its beauty. The song also expresses the love of the hometown. As far as wandering, but Palu will always be in the heart. The song was dedicated by Amri Palu, an Indonesian singer from Palu who has a distinctive and easily recognizable vocal color. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tanangu Kaili by Bram Laringi. Happy listening.
Maka ondo lula
Listener, that was the song Tanangku Kaili by Bram Larengi, the song which was written in Kaili language composed by Hasan Bahasuan. In addition to Kaili language, there are several local languages used by people in Central Sulawesi, namely Makassar language, Bugis language, and Toraja language. The song is one of the regional songs of Central Sulawesi, which is well known by the people in Central Sulawesi. Bram Larengi dedicated the songs very well. Well, to conclude our segment for today, listener, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kandeya Nakayomo by Miranda and Palu Maliuntinuvu by Ika Ichogemaka. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Kau mau, 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 kau
Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.